And the title of today's message is Stay the Course and Never Give Up. Say it with me. Stay the course. Say it like you mean it. Stay the course and never give up. This is part five of this series. Kind of our series scripture. I'm not actually reading it in the message the last few weeks, but it is just one that really sets the title of this message and who God is towards us when we're talking about winning and living in life. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. It's behind me on the plaque behind me. It's on the screens. It's in your bulletin. Or on your note page. So you can look at it anywhere you want. Let's all quote it together. I'll start. You just join in. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. Amen. Page one, number one of your insert. So I'd like to start out today by giving you a definition of success. And it's this. Obtaining everything that God has promised is yours, no matter how long it takes and no matter what kind of obstacles you might face. Now, I'll say it again. Success in this life is this. Obtaining everything, say everything, that God has promised is yours. How do you do that? No matter how long it takes, no matter what kind of obstacles that you might face. Success does not mean that you never have problems. It means that you know how to overcome the problem. And there's no such thing as a life on this planet without problems. Anybody ever realize that? We're also going to be confronted with adversity. We're going to be confronted with trials and tests of all kinds. It's our attitude about these problems that will determine whether we succeed or we fail. Hebrews 10:35 says this. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great, this word keeps coming up. It was an offering scriptures we read. This word keeps coming up. Remember the great what? Reward it brings. What brings? Not throwing away your confident trust in the Lord will bring a reward. Staying faithful. But he tells you how you're going to do that in verse 36. Patient endurance is what you need so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive what he has promised. When are you going to receive what he's promised? When you will. But how do you continue to do God's will? You have to stay patient and endure. That's the only way you're going to continue to do God's will, because Satan's going to beat at you and beat at you. So the way you win is you stay patient and you endure. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible where people who quit are rewarded. I don't see that anywhere. It's only those who develop staying power. Now let's look at that same passage in the message. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourself then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick to it. Staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. Now, here's how I read that. Okay, so the New King James said patient endurance. You got to endure. This one says you got to stick to it. Okay? But why? So staying with God's plan so that you'll be there for the promised completion. Which means the promised completion is happening at a certain place, in a certain time. Was it Daniel that the ravens brought food to, that he prayed for 21 days? Was that Daniel, one of you Bible scholars, students? Who was that? No, wasn't Elijah. Was it Elijah? Elijah, okay. So no, who prayed for 21 days? That was Daniel. At the brook? No. Nope. He was in Babylon. And I got my stories mixed up, don't I? Talk about Daniel, 21. Okay. Don't stop. I don't need help right this second. I'll ask for help when I need it. Okay. So. The ravens brought the food to Elijah. Where was Elijah? At the brook. And then Elijah left to go find the widow Is there a path? Right? Okay, so say I'm getting my Bible all. I got to get it straightened up. All right. So why? Okay, now I remember the story. Why was Elijah at the brook? Lord told him to go there. And what did he say would happen there? The birds would feed him every day. The birds would bring him meat and feed him every day. Is that right? Now, after the 21 days, or however long that was, he was moved somewhere else. Okay, so put that verse back up here. Make my point anyway. But you need to stick to it. Staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. So if Elijah didn't go to the brook and decided to go over there, where are the birds going? They're going to where the promised completion is, to the brook. So what if Elijah goes over there? Is he going to change God's mind? Are the birds going to move over there? No, you got to stick to God's plan. Does it make any sense to go down to the creek and wait for the birds to bring you food? Does that make any logical sense to you? But was that God's plan? So you got to do God's plan. You got to stick to it. Stay sick to it. You come too far to quit. You need to stick to it. You are not a quitter. You are a winner. But you got to develop staying power. The book of James, chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, gives us something important to think about. Now, let's read this. I'm going to read out of the ESV. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard about the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord. Say, the purpose of the Lord. All right, let's read that out of the message. Take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything. They went through everything, and they never once quit, all the time honoring God. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. Also, I'm going to read that part again. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power, and you know God brought it all together for him at the end. And that's because God cares right down to the last detail. Now, when I read this verse, one sentence stands right out to me. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power. Say, staying power. And you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. Number two on your insert. I believe there are four points in this verse that we need to look at that'll help us to victory. Number one is, no matter what you might go through, don't quit. Number two, no matter how impossible your situation may seem, stay the course. Number three, when your problems seem more than you can bear, develop staying power. I don't know where it is. It wasn't in my verses that I looked up, but you guys know that there is a place in the Bible where it says that God will not allow you to be tempted by the devil more than you are able to withstand, right? Okay. So if somebody wants to look that up for me, I'll shout it out so the people watching will know what that verse says. But so I'm going through all of this and it's bad. But you need to understand, if you belong to God, He will not allow Satan to tempt you, test you, try you, bring things upon you that you are not able to withstand. He will not let Satan go that far. Because if he did, Satan would kill us all. You get born again and Satan would just kill you dead so that you couldn't try to spread the gospel to anybody else. And number four, when it seems that nothing is happening, remember that God is about to bring it all together for you. It appears to me that one of the greatest needs in the body of Christ today is staying power. There are way too many believers who just give up too quickly. They're ready to throw in the towel at the first sign of adversity. You know, we see this in politics today. You know, we had riots at the Capitol. We had all of this. Yeah, all these people, you know, whether you love Trump, hate Trump, the point is still the same. Yeah, all these people that were for Trump. And he says at this rally, let's go down to the Capitol and peacefully let them hear your voice. So they go down there and they don't peacefully let them hear their voice. 800 of them go crazy. And so all these people in Congress that supported Trump, what happened to so many of them? You find out who's loyal. So, but this, it's just a good illustration because the same thing happens in church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Satan comes up and slaps you upside the face one day, and it's like, oh, I guess it's not real. I guess God doesn't love me. I guess God's not real. You get my point? Mm-hmm. I'm with you until I have to really stand with you. And then when I got to stand with you, I am cutting out. Staying power. It's a problem with people. It's a problem with the body of Christ. And these verses in James talk about Job and you know, we're mostly all of us familiar with the story of Job, and talk about somebody who experienced adversity. Talk about somebody that really for 9 to 12 months of his life just got beat up every day. It's impossible that you know, you need to understand, I guess, the book of Job. It doesn't cover his life. It covers, theologians believe, somewhere around a year of his life. And the book tells us that when the devil pulls out the heavy artillery, he fires the best shots he has at a man for 12 solid months, day in, day out, never letting up, that God can still turn your situation around. Somebody say amen. Number three. If you're going through the worst time in your life right now, it is not over yet. It's not over until you see the purpose of the Lord. And what does that mean? It means it's not over until God has His say about the matter. You've got to wait for the purpose of the Lord. It's not over until God has done His part. God's working behind the scenes even as you're hearing this message this morning. And when you have seen the purpose of the Lord, that means that God has brought it all together for you, just like He did for Job. So what was the purpose of the Lord regarding Job? Job 42, verse 10 and verse 12. Verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now skip down to verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. Page 2, number 1. Have you experienced your turnaround? If not, it's not over. You have not seen the purpose of the Lord. Have you experienced restoration yet? If not, then it's not over. You have not seen the purpose of the Lord. Are you better off now than you were when the attack came? If not, it's not over yet. You've not seen the purpose of the Lord. If you are determined that you're going to stick it out, you're going to see the purpose of the Lord. Number two, the King James Version calls staying power patience. Being patient means to be constant. It means to be consistent. It doesn't mean putting up with something. When we say patience, we think put up with something. But that's not, when the Bible talks about patience, that's not what it means in the Greek and the Hebrew. It does not mean, it means being consistent. It means being constant. It means never changing regardless of the circumstances. People today are not willing to be patient for very long. They give up at the drop of a hat. They're not consistent. You know, Robert Schuller, he used to make this famous saying. It said, tough times never last, but what? Tough people do. Success as well as failure is a choice. Man, when I realized that in my early 20s, when I started hearing the Word of Faith message and I realized that my success was a choice based on God and what God said in His Word, oh my goodness, that was it. I was done. I was going after success. Success begins when you decide that you are not going to quit. It doesn't matter how hard it is, how dumb you think you are, how stupid you think you are, how much you cannot do, how much you do not know. But success begins when you decide you're not going to quit. But failure begins when you decide that you just can't take it anymore. And I realize that, you know, all of us from time to time are, you know, we're confronted with impossible situations. And you can get to the point where it does feel that way. I just can't take it anymore. We've all been there. But the reality is that we don't know how much we can take until we push ourselves. And we also, again, have to realize that Satan can't push us beyond what God will allow. So you don't know how much you can take until you're willing to push yourself. I promise you, you can take a whole lot more than you just off the top think you can. Remember that you are filled with the greater one. 1 John 4:4 says what? The greater is he who what? Is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not talking about your own strength here. I'm not talking about your might. I'm not talking about your abilities. The greater one lives within us. I have reached a point in my life, and you have too. We've all gotten there, where we just feel like, I can't do this anymore. I can't take it anymore. But here's the difference between once you're trained and when you're not. I would never, ever say that out of my mouth. Because to say it, to say, I can't not take it anymore, admits that the blood of Jesus wasn't enough. To say it would be to say that the cross didn't work. If I can't take what the devil dishes out, then Jesus died in vain. And we all know that's not true. Number three, notice in the book of Hebrews that Paul agrees with what we already read that James said about having to stick to it. And he says this about the reward in Hebrews 6:12. So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose enthusiasm. But follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised. Why? Because of their strong faith and what? Patient endurance. And again, what does patience mean? Does it mean putting up with it? Being consistent. Being constant, not changing. It has nothing to do with putting up with anything. And so, patient endurance. Well, the message said, let's look at the message. It says it like this. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. See, I know that the Bible says that all things, that God causes all things to work together for my good. I know that. But I also know that God does not cause any of the bad things that happen to me. He has nothing bad to give me. He only has blessings. He has no curses. The curse, Jesus died on the cross, it says we are redeemed from the curse of the law. So there's no curses. God only has blessing. So if God only has blessing and I'm not being blessed, then I have to understand that I'm the one who's not where I need to be. Well, I'd rather blame God. Well, I know you would, but that's not how what we're going to do here. We don't play that game here. We blame the person who's responsible. That's you and me. If it's not working, it's not because God decided, for you it's not going to work. It's because you're not working it. Well, that makes me responsible. Yes, it does. But then Satan's going to come along, and he's going to attack. And then the fight starts, and we fight by faith. We know we're not fighting a man. We're fighting a spiritual battle. But through that, we have to wait with what? Patient endurance. Don't get lazy where your faith is concerned. You can only stay on the course when you're built up in faith and you're not compromising. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, endings are better than beginnings. Sticking to it is better than standing out. Believe that your situation is going to get better. Believe that your situation is going to turn out better than what you could ask or think. You have to ask yourself, where's my staying power? Have you let go of it? Are you holding fast to it? We have to stay focused on the purpose of the Lord. That's what we're waiting for. Page 3, number 1. Psalm 37:37 says this, but you can tell who are the blameless and spiritually mature. What a different story with them. The godly ones will have a peaceful, prosperous future with a happy ending. Who's going to do that? The godly ones. Who are the godly ones? Us. Are you born again? Then you're a godly one. And so if we do what the Bible says, if we fight the good fight of faith, if we stay patient and have endurance, then what? We will have a peaceful, prosperous future and a happy ending. Peace can be translated as well-being, soundness, and wholeness. It can also be translated as prosperity. And it sounds to me that if this man determines that he is not going to give up, if he's going to stick to it, if he is going to trust God all the way, then it's going to have a happy ending. And it is going to bring peace and wellness and soundness and wholeness and prosperity. Proverbs 37:39-40. He, talking about God, is their strength in times of trouble. Who's your strength in a time of trouble? God. Verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 16, it says that if we keep walking in God's ways, God will do you good in the end. Number two, God's going to do some good things. It's not over yet. You need to tell the devil that he hasn't seen the end of you. You need to tell him that your best days are ahead of you and not behind you. The devil keeps bringing up your future. If he does that in a negative way, just bring up his future. See, his is not very bright, but your future is very bright. You are headed for some great things. You are headed for a turnaround. You are headed for restoration. And where is Satan headed? To the lake of fire. And if you'll just remind him of that often enough, he will kind of stay away from you. He does not like hearing that. And someone once said, there is nothing that perseverance cannot accomplish. Someone else said, if I persist long enough, then I know I will win. It's your choice. You can either give up now or you can stick with it and watch God bring it together for you at the end. So let's look at a few more verses about this. In 2 Corinthians 4:1 message, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. What's the job? The job is being a Christian. The job is being someone who represents God. Is that your job or not your job? All right, so put that verse back up. We're not about to throw our hands up and walk away from God and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we're not quitting. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. The message says it this way. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. And verse 18 says, while we do not look at these things which are seen, the hard times, we don't look at them, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. You know, yesterday was temporary. It's gone. But the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by what? The message says it this way. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. I have things I want, and I can see them through the eye of faith, but I can't see them right now. But people that stop dreaming, people that their dreams have died, they die. You know, if somebody retires, well, let me change the question. If you took a group of 65 to 85-year-olds, that retired. What's their death rate? It's very, very high. If you take a group of 65 to 85-year-olds that do not retire. Now, they may quit doing what they were doing, but they do something else. What's their death rate? It's not high at all compared to the rest of the population. Why? Because if I quit and I go sit on the porch and rock in the rocking chair, I have no vision for anything. And when I have no vision, I have no goal. I have no goal. I have nothing pushing me. I have nothing pushing me. What are you doing breathing and taking up room on the planet? You need to be out there and you need to be working. If you're drawing breath, you need to be serving God and doing something. Number three, we need to develop staying power. We need to get tough. We need to get some backbone. Thank you, Jesus. We need to learn how to put our foot down. We need to learn how to put our hand to the plow and not look back. We need to make up our minds that if anybody is going to give up, it's going to be the devil. It's not going to be me. You need to fully expect to see the purpose of the Lord. You need to fully believe that God is going to bring it together for you. Make up your mind that this is your time of restoration. This is your time of harvest. This is your time of reaping. This is your time to be totally free. Say, it's my time. Number four, you may be, you know, hearing this message and you're desperate for a breakthrough. And you might be on the verge of throwing in the towel. And you may need a turnaround like you've never needed one before. But this is not the time to give up. If you can maintain your joy, man, this is so critical. If you can maintain your joy and hang on a little longer, you're going to find out that some good things are coming your way. Psalms 126:6. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing. Could you use some laughter right now? Could you use some armloads of blessing right now? Now, the difference in whether or not you experience that laughter and that armload of blessing is determined by whether what you are believing is a desire or a wish. There's a big difference between those two. Look at what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you wish for. No, it's not pray for. Desire. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Say it again. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Because a desire is something you're going to fight for. A wish is a wish. But man, if you've got a desire for something, how many of you ever have, and I'll talk to the guys for a minute. How many of you guys have ever had a desire for a certain new car? And how many of you guys have gotten totally stupid and done crazy dumb things to get that car? Okay, so there's some honest people besides me in here. In about 3 months in, how many of you wish you hadn't done that? Why? See, a wish is, man, I'd sure like to have one of those. A desire is, I'm going after that. You get the difference? So Jesus is saying, if you desire it, if you're willing to go after it, and you believe in faith, you'll get it. Godly things, not stupid things like us running off and doing that. But as I was listening to the Spirit of God about this, he said, without genuine desire, your faith will be lifeless. Without genuine desire, your faith will be lifeless. I do not want lifeless faith. Faith comes alive when there is a desire, a genuine, intense desire, and not just a wish for something to happen. Page 4, number 1. Nearly everything that I have ever desired with great intensity in my life, I have got. I'm not saying that to brag. I mean, I'm bragging on God, because before I got into this, that was not the case. But once I learned God's systems, man, I was off and running. If I wanted it badly enough, and if I pressed toward getting it, it came to pass. Desire dictates how much you really want something. Desire is what causes you to stay focused. Desire is what keeps you going when others have given up. Desire is what enables you to stand when others have quit. Desire is what keeps you enthusiastic. So like in my business, you know, I'm an insurance and financial services guy. I mean, that's what I do for a living. And when I started in my new agent class, there were 14 of us. And as of last year, there were two of the 14 left, me and another guy. And he passed away from COVID, so I'm the only one left. But there were two of us that made it. 12 didn't, two did. The difference was, I was coming out of 9/11. I hadn't worked in over a year. I couldn't find a job. I was overqualified for everything. And I went at this business. And failing was not an option. I had a desire to succeed, not just a wish I could succeed. So people even asked me today, they said, how is it you do, you know, you pastor a church, you have a full-time job, you got this, you got that. How do you do all the stuff you do? You do what you have to do. You don't whine about it. You don't complain about it. You just do what you have to do, and you make it happen with the help of God. So me and this other guy, because he had a desire, I had a desire. The other ones, you know, they wanted something easy. They wished they could make this work. Well, I am 16 years into this now, and I still have a desire to make it work. So you know what? It'll work. Why? Because I won't quit. Quitting is for quitters. Ronk, you're being harsh. I'm not being harsh. It's the truth. Who quits? Who quits? Who keeps going? Winners. I mean, you know, this isn't rocket scientist stuff. You know, it's amazing how practical the Bible is. So, desire is what keeps you enthusiastic. And someone once said, nothing great has ever been achieved without enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a must if you expect to see God's promises become realities, because all of us live between amen, and what's the next part of that? There it is. Amen, and there it is. And that might take 10 seconds, that may take 10 years. But once you say amen on that prayer, if your desire stays, your focus stays, you continue to pursue God for it, eventually you're going to get to the there it is. It's just how it works. And so we all live there. But what did we talk about a minute ago? Being the promise being specific to a place or a time. So if I pray the amen, and the there it is right here, but I've gotten weary in waiting, and I'm over there, where is the there it is? Right here. Where am I? There. Do I get the promise? No. Do you see how simple this is? This is not complicated stuff. I mean, we want to complicate it, but it is not complicated stuff. So we have to stay enthusiastic. We live between amen and there it is. And during that time, we have to stand on the promises of God and not waver. And you must get to a place where you say, I have to maintain my joy at all cost. Why? Because if I waver or if I lose my joy, I will not win. Why not? Because we know that Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if I lose my joy, I lose my strength. And if I lose my strength, I cannot win. And you've got to be enthusiastic about what you're doing and keep believing God in an excited and enthusiastic way. Number two on page four. If you really want your breakthrough, you had better get a vision for it and refuse to let it go. Vision is the ability to see things that are not seen with the natural eye. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We already read it this morning. I'm going to read it again. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Through the eye of faith, I see some good things coming my way. Through the eye of faith, I see breakthrough. And that's what you've got to get to. You've got to get to where it's I see. Can't be pastor seeing for me. It can't be, you got to get to where it's I see. Now, not that we're all about I, but in this case, it's you that has to make these things. So through the eye of faith, I see some financial needs being met. Through the eye of faith, I can see that turnaround that I'm believing God for. Through the eye of faith, I can see visitors in every service we have. Through the eye of faith, I can see people being born again and healed in every service we have. Through the eye of faith, I can see this room full every time we meet together. Through the eye of faith, I can see a church that is full of people that love God and love people. It doesn't matter where they come from, who they are. It does not matter. We love God and we love people and are willing to stand up for God and be the church of Jesus Christ. A church that is full of power, a church that is full of authority. Through the eye of faith, I can see my family whole and healthy. I can see every member of my family well and healthy. And me preaching the Word of God like never before. Through the eye of faith, I can see my children serving God, my grandchildren serving God, and being happy and prosperous all the days of their lives. Through the eye of faith, I can go on and on, but you get the idea. I have big dreams and I have a lot of them. You need to dream. And your dreams need to be big. You can only receive what you can see yourself receiving. If you can't see yourself receiving it, it's not faith. Because faith sees what you can't see in the natural. So that's wishing. But desire, Jesus said, pray the things you desire. So if I have a if I have a desire for something, I can see it. I don't have to have it. Why? Because I know that by faith it is mine. And I'm just standing between amen and there it is. You can only receive what you can. You can only receive what you can see yourself receiving. Close your eyes right now. Just everybody close your eyes. Now just for a second, just pick one item that is really dear to your heart. And try to see yourself with that one item. Whatever it is, just try to see yourself with that. Person, place, thing, whatever it is. Relationship, whatever it is. Just see yourself with that. Now say this, I can see some good things coming my way. Now can you really see it? And if you can really see it, then hold on to it. And through the eye of faith, stay hanging on to it. And don't quit. Imagine your bills being paid in full. Imagine the miracle you need in your family coming to pass. Imagine that healing that you need in your body. This is how we get our breakthroughs. See, it's easy for most people to see bad things coming. Why is it so hard for us to see good things coming? It's the way we've been programmed since we were children. We have to reprogram our minds to see good things coming into our lives. We need to stretch our imagination. Number 3 on your insert. Albert Einstein once said, "Your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions." Your imagination is a gift from God. Without your imagination, you can't picture God's promises coming to pass in your life. You have to let your imagination work for you and not against you. If you truly believe that God is about to cause some good things to come your way, then you have to act as though it has already happened. Joel 2:21. Don't be afraid, my people. Be glad now. Be glad when?
Now.
And rejoice. Why? Because the Lord has done great things. Now, if you read this scripture in Joel, what you find out is God hadn't done anything for them at this point. So, but notice Joel says, When good things come, glad and rejoice. He's saying, be glad and rejoice first. Don't be afraid. I know it looks bad right now. Be glad now and rejoice. Why? Because the Lord has done great things. What do you mean has done? He hasn't done anything yet. That's the way faith talks. Because what do we know that the Bible says? We call things that be not as though they were. He doesn't say God's going to do great things. Because if I say God's going to do great things, that kind of just leaves it out there. I haven't really spoken in faith or with any power. But if I said, rejoice and be glad because God has done great things, and you're looking around like, what do you mean he's done great things? He hasn't done anything. What did we just talk about? I see great things. Well, I can't see them. Well, then get yourself in the Word and get your faith built up so that you can see them. I hope I'm making sense. You know, often we want to wait until we can see the manifestation before we rejoice and be glad. But that is backwards to God. You need to get rid of fear and start being glad and start rejoicing. Even if the natural doesn't appear to be going your way, even if there seems to be nothing to rejoice for. And this is where staying power kicks in. This is where desire kicks in. This is where faith kicks in. We do it even if we don't feel like it. We do it even if our mind says this is foolish. We do it even if others think we're crazy. Show the devil through your rejoicing and being glad that you're no longer believe his lies. Show him that there is no way that he is going to keep you down. Show him that that you believe what God says more than what he says. Psalms 34:9. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. What does?
Worship.
What does?
Worship.
Psalms 103:1-2, and then verse 6. With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before a holy God. What does that imply? Worship. Verse 2. Yahweh, you are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done to me? Verse 6, you're a God who makes things right, giving justice to the defenseless. Psalms 118, verse 1 and then 15 and 16. Oh, thank the Lord, for he's so good, his loving kindness is forever. Now drop down to 15 and 16. Songs of joy at the news of our rescue are sung in the homes of the godly. The strong arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The message says it this way. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to sing praises to our God. Praise is beautiful. Praise is fitting. And verse 6 says, God puts the fallen on their feet again and pushes the wicked into a ditch. But how do you get there? Go back to verse 1. It's a good thing to sing praise to our God. Praise is beautiful. Praise is fitting. If we will be praising God, getting not dwelling on our problems, but dwelling on how good God is, then God is going to put the fallen back on their feet, and he's going to push the wicked into the ditch. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament about the prophet Elisha. He tells the people to prepare for an event. And the prophet told them to dig ditches in order to catch the water that was coming from the rain. The problem is, it hasn't rained in a very, very long time because they're in this years-long drought. They haven't even seen clouds in years. And the people, you know, they're like, and he's telling them, dig ditches. But there's not even a cloud in the sky. Yet the word of God comes to them, dig ditches. Rain's coming, God said. You'd better get ready for it. If most Christians had been there, they would have said something, at least, and this is the ones in faith. Well, you know, once I see some thunderstorm clouds in the distance, I might start digging. That does not work with God. Listen to what I'm telling you. He wanted them to dig while there was no evidence in the natural of rain coming. He wants you to talk about being prosperous when in the natural there is no prosperity going on. He wants you to talk about being well and healthy and whole and what you're going to do for him when you're sick as a dog. You say, but that makes no sense to your natural mind. God doesn't work that way. He wanted them to dig while there was no evidence in the natural the rain was coming. These people were told to act as though the result they had desired was going to happen. So what happened? After the ditches were dug, What happened? The rain came. When? After the ditches were dug, the rain came. So my question is, go back to our verse earlier, talking about God being in a certain place at a certain time. What if they had refused to listen to the man of God and not dig the ditches? They would have stayed in a drought, because God works by faith. He wanted to see their faith. He wanted to see the ditches dug. He wanted to know that they believe him even when there's no evidence that what he said is true. And once the ditches were dug, the rain came. That's the way it works in our life. You've got to act like it is so. And that is contrary to what everything's going to teach you and what your mind's going to scream at you. And I'm quite sure that, you know, some of those folks, they're out there digging those ditches. They got to be looking up in the sky, and the sun's beating down on them. There's not a cloud in the sky. You know, they're probably starting to get, you know, mad at Elijah and discouraged and disappointed. But Elijah just keeps telling them, just keep digging. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Just keep digging. The rain's coming. We need to dig a little more. We need to dance, and we need to sing, and we need to shout while digging. We need to remember it's not over until God says it's over. We need to hang in there and not stop, you know, not stop staying fit. Stop your whining. Just stop whining. We need to keep on digging until we see the breakthrough. And I'll close with this, because I promise you that if you continue to do these things, your manifestation will come. Not because I'm promising it, because the Word of God promises it. And if you don't give up, and if you don't quit, if you don't throw in the towel, you will receive what you're believing for. And every week so far in this series, I've said this. You are called to battle, but you've already been predestined to win. So it's time to let the champion on the inside of you arise. It's time for you to take control of your destiny and live out the abundant life that Christ had to give you. It is your time in Christ to win. Somebody say amen. Let's all read Jeremiah 29:11 again. It's the very first verse, guys, in the back. Put it back up on the screen. Let's just all read it one more time together. It's on the back wall. So if we could get that back up. All right. I'll start, and we're going to read it slow. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Stop. Who has plans for you? What do you see? Do you see his plans? Or do you see all the problems going on in the world and in your life? What do you see? Now, what does God see? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He sees the plans he has for you. What do you see? All right, so let's read the rest of it. So let's just start over. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Stop. His plans are to do what? And not to? All right, so if there's any non-prosperity going on, where's it coming from? The devil, or ourselves just being stubborn. And if there is any harm going on, where's it coming from? So if there's no prosperity and there is harm, is that coming from God?
No.
Let's start over and read again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. God's plan for you is to prosper you and to make things go easy for you. His plan is to give you hope. His plan is to give you a future. What is your plan? My recommendation is you get in line with what God says. Put this, you know, come up here and take a picture of this before you go. Or take, it's in red right on your insert. Cut it out, put it on your mirror in the bathroom, And every day when you go in there to get ready for work, get ready for school, whatever it is, you just read it. Amen. Just read it. Man, God, I thank you that you have plans for me. That you declare plans. You declare prosperity over me. You declare that I will face no harm. You have plans for me for hope and a future. I'm a victor and I'm a winner. I mean, you just go. And then talk about how and personalize it. God, I can see you doing this and I can see you doing that. I can see you prospering this and I can see you blessing that. And I can see you turning my body around and I can see you healing me. And I can see that pain going. I can see that growth leaving. I can see in Jesus' name. And the world will say, well, you're not prosperous. There's a growth there. The pain's still there. I mean, they're going to say all that stuff. And then you have a choice to make. What are you going to say? You get in line with the Word of God or you don't. Because the promise is here. Get in the flow and stay here. Because everything, Satan, your friends, your spouse, not intentionally, but, you know, people, they're going to want to drag you over here. Not because necessarily they're being mean. Some of them are mean. But not necessarily because they're being mean. Some people just don't know. You know, they think, you know, what you're believing for is stupid. Come over here. This makes sense. Well, right there is the problem. It makes sense. Digging ditches in the middle of a drought with no clouds makes sense. And did God show up before or after they did what he said? That's the way he works. It's your time in Christ to win. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here this morning watching me, listening to me, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, nothing I've said helps you a bit. Because for any of this to apply to you, you have to belong to him. Because this is our heritage. This is our covenant right. So you have to belong to him. And if you want what we're talking about, the first step is you have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, period. Now, there may be some of you are saying, well, Pastor, I've done that. I've said the prayer and I know Jesus, but oh my goodness, I let the world take me here and there, and I let everything go, and I'm so negative, and I talk this, and I talk this trash talk, and I do that, and I know it's not right, and I know it's not good, and I know it shouldn't be that way. And you know what? I just want to rededicate my life to him today. I just want to start fresh and rededicate, and that's great. So if you're here this morning, and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or you just want to rededicate your heart to him, if you're here, just lift a hand and let me see that. If you're watching or listening, thank you for those hands. That is wonderful. God bless you. And thank you for those of you out there that are acknowledging as well, because I know you are. God has a plan for you. And it's a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you hope in a future. But you got to get on his page and in his timing. Let's all say this prayer together. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive your hope, your blessing, your future for me. I receive no harm. I receive everything that you have for me. But the primary thing I receive is the gift of your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, I accept what you did for me on Calvary's cross, dying for me. Suffering for me so that I could win in this life and be a joint heir with you, with your Father. I'm grateful and I will serve you all the days of my life. I am a Christian. It's in your name I pray. Amen. And still every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me ask this. You know, after a message like this, you might have realized, man, my confession has just been bad. I'm not saying I can do this in Christ. I can do that in Christ. I see this in Christ. I'm not waiting for the Lord to do His thing. I get impatient and I leave. I'm not enduring like I need to. I'm not standing fast the way I need to. I'm quitting and I'm getting discouraged. And I know that's not the plan of God. And I just want to say, God, forgive me for that and help me to maintain my endurance and my strength in You. If that's you and you just want to make that declaration to God this morning, just lift a hand. Thank You for all those hands. Father, You see the hands and the hearts. In the name of Jesus, I speak to them. I speak peace into them. I speak endurance into them. I thank You, Lord God, for bringing this message and things like this back to the remembrance when they want to get off track. I just speak the peace and the blessings of God over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do hope that was a blessing to you and that you'll take those study notes home this week and kind of just, even if you only go through one or two bullets a day, just kind of chew on it a little bit and get this down in your spirit, man. And Father, I thank You for the opportunity that we have to worship You and praise You, to be joint heirs with Jesus, to be sons and daughters of God. I love You. I thank You for this day. I thank You for what You have done for me. And I thank You for what You are willing to do for every person watching and listening. Every person in this room, every family represented here, we are blessed. And I thank You for it. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you to go through this week to protect us and watch over us. Move this, change that. I just dispatch you into the week to make sure we have a prosperous, healthy, successful week in Jesus. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great week. We love you and just are so grateful for you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed.